Wow. Good morning. How are we, church? Are we good today? Want to welcome our online community. Want to give our online church a big hand as they welcome them today. Good to see you. Nice to have you with us today. Well, there's a lot going on in church life. Make sure you're over all our socials. Just check out what we're doing. Have a look at our web page and it can inform you. Not only are the girls doing a breakfast, but the boys are doing a breakfast this next Saturday, 8 a.m. at a special location. Secret location. Ever go secret? Secret location. So you've got to go to the socials to find out where it is. It's not here. It's there. If you turn up here, you're going to be disappointed because the bacon is going to be cooked somewhere else. And we're eating at a secret location. Want to invite you, if you're a man, any men in the house today? Yeah. All the boys, girls, kick your husband, kick him out. Kick him out on Saturday. Make him go to the breakfast. Pay for them. It's $10. It's a good time together. It's always good for the boys to get together. We love to burn things. Literally, bacon, wood, what we burn, we eat, and so we're going to have a great time doing that next week. Vision Sunday, of course, is coming up next Sunday. If you could do your very best to be with us, either in person or online next Sunday as we gather to chat about what we're doing for our Vision Sunday, that would be amazing. And then tonight, of course, we've got our team talk. So we're doing that for all our leaders, all those that serve in teams. If you're in a team in any capacity, love to have you here tonight. Bring your favorite meal. We're doing a potluck. Somebody please bring KFC. Mikey Faulkner won't be here. So disappointing because Mikey always brings the best chips from the best fish and chip shop you've ever been to in your life. He won't be here. Hi, Mikey and Chrissy. They're at home this morning quarantining with stuff that's going on. And so what a weird season we are living in. Huh? Fast or future? We've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks because, you know, when you're in a season like we're in now where it's a little bit unstable and you're not quite sure of, you know, what the future may look like. And when I say future, I mean tomorrow or even next week, let alone the next year or the next decade. And so we have a real choice as to whether we're going to focus on the fuss of what we have going on around our world or whether we're going to focus on the future. And of course, what I want you to do is focus on the future. You know, the season is full of uncertainty and even insecurity for people. And when it's uncertain and when it's insecure, we need to make sure that we live with certainty and we have a sense of security. And that's what I believe God gives and God offers to every one of us. You know, it's certainly been a season of changing rhythms for people. Changing rhythms in the way they do life, in the way they gather, in the way we work. Life has really thrown a curveball with that, and we're learning new rhythms and patterns. And I really want to encourage people not to throw all your rhythms out. Not all your rhythms are bad. Like honoring God and loving God and worshiping God and gathering. They're all good, important rhythms to have. And it's important that we focus on the future with a sense of having the right rhythms, the right habits for this new year that we're in. So we've been talking about this. We've been talking about not getting stuck. Not getting stuck in the now, but being real futurist and speaking to our future and building for the future that we want to live in. And of course, the big encouragement over the last 3 weeks has been never give up on your future and never give up on our future, our individual futures and our collective future together as a family, as a church family. Very important to stay focused on that. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. That's the first place to start. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your friends and your family and your future that we have together. I want to finish this series of conversations we've been having today, and we're going to focus today on one of my all-time favorites from the Old Testament. I have a number of favorites, and this one really stands out head and shoulders above most of them, certainly from the Old Testament. It's a man who had the amazing ability to stay focused on the future, not on the fuss of what was happening in the tribes of Israel. Israel at a time of great testing. Just after they'd been promised by God, they'd go to the promised land and the spies went in who were supposed to come back with a good report of what was in the land. And two of them did and a bunch of them didn't. And the people got greatly discouraged and they were robbed of their immediate possession of the promise of God. And it was delayed for lots and lots of years. Now, one of these men was one of those spies that went in and came back with a positive report. You don't hear him spoken of as much as you do the other one. Like Joshua, he was spoken of and is spoken of, and he's all over the place in the Bible. But there's another man who's only mentioned a few times. His name is Caleb. And Caleb, for me, stands head and shoulders above most of my other favorites, certainly in the Old Testament. He was Joshua's silent partner, a man of few words, but a man of solid faith. And I want his life to encourage us today. Let's read his story, Joshua 14, verse 7. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. And I returned and I gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me, they frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, everyone say for my part. For my part, that's important. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me. He said, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well. Don't you love what God does? He's kept me alive and well. Should believe for that. As he has promised me for all these 45 years since Moses gave me this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. Wow. 85 years of age. And he says this, I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. So he's saying, I'm as strong now at 85 as I was when I was 40. And I can still travel. And when he says travel, he doesn't mean go to the airport and jump on a luxury, you know, plane. He's not talking about going on a train or even a bus trip. He's talking about walking. He's talking about jumping on the back of a camel, going through the wilderness and through the desert. Not my style of travel, but as an 85-year-old, he's saying, I can still do it. I can still travel. Not only that, I can still fight. I still got a bit in me. I still got a little bit in me. Any 85-year-olds in the room still got a little bit in you? No 85-year-olds. Anyone between 50 and 85 got a little bit of fight in you? Come on. Don't let those young bucks underestimate you. You might have some grey hair. You might have no hair. You might have a little bit of a belly. Don't underestimate. Don't you dare, Bradley, underestimate me. It's still a little bit fight. I can still travel. He says, I can still travel. I can still fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country. Come on, give it to me, God. Give me the hill country that you promised me. I love his story. Caleb is such an inspirational man. Such an inspirational man, a quiet man, a reserved man, just a faithful man, just a loyal man, a man of few words, but he stood tall in the eyes of God. And he says that for 45 years, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord. For 45 years, I've wholeheartedly followed the Lord. I came back that day with a positive report. And I've hung on to that report for 45 years. And today, even though I'm 85, I can still travel. I can still fight. So I'm still believing for the things that God has promised me. And it's as if literally God was saying to him, Caleb, you can build your farm there. You can raise your children there. Your descendants, they will grow there. They will develop there. They will spread out there. They will have influence there. And his life, for me, what Caleb's life preaches is it preaches about the power of consistency. Everyone say consistency. Consistency. Consistency is really underrated. It's really underrated. There is such power in being a consistent person, in being a consistent personality, in being a person of habit, in being a person of pattern, in being a person that's intentional in the way that you live your life. And I want to say to all of us today, online and in the room, consistency is your friend. Consistency is your friend. And consistency will bring unbelievable favor in your life if you can stay strong enough to keep traveling, if you can stay strong enough to keep fighting and believing for the promise of God. Consistency is your friend. I want to high five today some of the things that happen when we live with consistency. I just want to promote it. I want to shout out today to all of us what I believe happens when we're consistent in the way we do this journey with God. A few scriptures just to continue laying the platform. First of all, though, in Acts chapter 2, it speaks of the early church in verse 42 and gives one of the keys as to how it developed so rapidly. It says, as they continued steadfastly. As they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, so the gathering around the word of God and the teaching and the breaking open of the word of God, they did that. They continued in fellowship. They had gatherings. They didn't have an online room and an online space. They were all in the room in that day because there was no such thing as technology. There was only the gathering. And so they gathered for the teaching of the word and for the fellowship. These two things are two things that should never be taken away from the church. The church was built on them. The church was established on them, and Jesus established this for us. Also in the breaking of bread, in sharing communion, which we're going to do today. It's so important to break bread. It's so important to share moments of communion where we have moments of reflection on what Jesus has done so deeply for every one of us, and in prayers and in praying. This week we're going to sacrifice some food, like Josh said, on church news. And we're going to do what Cheryl talked about on Wednesday night. We're going to come together. We're going to gather. We're going to have a praise and prayer party is what we're going to do. We want to invite you to come and pray with us, because that's what the church does. That's what the church does. The church leans into the teaching of the word. It gathers for connection and fellowship. It shares moments of communion, and it prays. And I want you to notice that it says they continued steadfastly in this. They didn't do it once. It wasn't a once-er. It was something they consistently did and consistently gathered to do. In the New Living Translation, it says they devoted themselves to this. They devoted themselves to this. You know, your life is going to speak devotion towards something. Your life is going to speak devotion towards somebody, some group, some organization, where you give your time, your energy, your giftedness, your presence, where you give your gifts financially towards it. It's either a club or a place or a church or something is going to speak that way of your life. And I want to encourage you to continue as a believer to be steadfast and to be immovable, which is another key word in a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:58, where Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the Lord. Do you know what God's plan for you and I is? It's that we would be steadfast, consistent. Yeah. That we would be immovable, that you would be like rock. You would be like a rock, immovable. And that you would not only be steadfast and immovable, but you would be always abounding, growing and developing in your journey, in your work, in your love, in your commitment and your service of the Lord. Life's best is experienced by being steadfast and immovable. By being steadfast and immovable. And this is what consistency does. Consistency, it just moves our life forward. It moves our life forward. If we want to move life forward, there's some things we've got to make sure that we are consistent in, that we are steadfast in, that we are locked on to, that we give ourselves towards day in, day out, month after month, regardless of the season we find ourselves in. And the first one is highlighted in the story and the life, the account of Caleb that we just read, to continue to love the Lord wholeheartedly. That's what we're called to do, to love the Lord wholeheartedly, with a full heart, with a complete heart, with a whole heart, to have everything within us pursuing God. It simply meant from Caleb's perspective that he loved God above everything else, that he trusted God above everything else, and that he followed God above everything else, even when his promise was delayed some 45 years. He didn't let the delay of the promise deter his faith. He didn't let the delay of the promise make him think it was denied. It's just that it wasn't the right time yet. There are some things, church, that we are believing God for and that you are believing God for that are not yet, yet they are. They are not yet, yet they are. They're on their way, you just don't have it yet, but it's on there. It's on its way. It's on its way to you, and it's on its way to me. And I just love what Caleb says. He says, "For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord." Never forget your part. Never forget what your part is. We play a part in this journey of following God. We get to play a part. And Caleb said, "For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord." The other lot, they discouraged all the people of Israel, and we lost out because of their behavior. But I have remained faithful. I have remained loyal. I have wholeheartedly followed God through this challenging season. You know what our part is? Our part is to love the Lord with all of our heart. Jesus said it. He said, "Love the Lord with everything you have. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength." That's why we're here today. That's why we go to church week in, week out. That's why we have a consistency with it. Like people that don't come to church, your family that know that you do come to church, and they look at you and they think, "You're going again? What, you're going to go twice this month? Or three times this? Are you going to be a real fan and go four times this month? Or you're going to come on a Wednesday night to a prayer? You're going to what? Give up food? You're going to pray?" Yes, we do all those things because we want to wholeheartedly follow the Lord, because we know what our part is. Do you remember when you first came to Christ and you first ask Jesus to come into your heart and your sins were forgiven and you first came to church? Remember when you first came to church and you fell in love with it? You just fell in love with it. You fell in love with God. You fell in love with the people in church. And you just couldn't wait to come to church. You're the first one here Sunday morning. You beat the pastor. You beat the creative team. You beat the service team. You were the first one to come to the church. Do you remember? Every sermon that was preached was wow, 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 wow. Whereas now it's yawn, 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 yawn. Do you remember that feeling? Oh, what a feeling. So excited. Loved meeting new friends in church. You know, when I think about that, I think, what happened? What happened? What happens to people that it goes cold? I sat yesterday with a guy that used to be a pastor. We went to Kingaroy for Cheryl's brother's 50th birthday party. And this guy used to be a pastor years ago. I met him about 20 years ago. He was really cool. Confident, outspoken, well-presented, really trendy young pastor. And he'd done a few years in ministry 20 years ago when I met him. And he was going places and pastoring a good church. And I caught up with him yesterday after 20 years. No longer goes to church. No longer believes in God. No longer believes in a Bible. And believes you're very narrow-minded if you only read one book and believe it. And I sat there and had a conversation with him. And it's kind of like, how do you get to that point? How do you go from this to that? How do you lose that sense of heart and wow? It's so easy. It's so easy. And the lesson of his life is you've got to look after your heart. You've got to look after your heart and know what your part is. If you don't fulfill your part, you're going to fall apart. And so look after your part. Turn to your neighbor and say, know your part. Know your part. Our part is to follow the Lord with all of our heart. There's a church in Bible days at Ephesus that Paul writes to, the book of Ephesians. They're also mentioned in the book of Revelation. And this is what it says in the book of Revelation about the Ephesian church. It says this, I have this complaint against you. It's Jesus talking to them. I have this complaint against you. You don't love me, or you don't love each other as you did at first. You don't love me, and you don't love each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and listen to this. And do the works you did at first. And do the works you did at first. When I have someone say to me that, you know, I don't love God like I used to, or I don't love the church like I used to, or I sit with a pastor like an ex-pastor like I did yesterday and have that kind of conversation, I think I know what the problem is. The problem is there are some things you know you should do that you're no longer doing and you need to get back to doing them. So here's my question. What should you do that you're not doing that you know you should do to get your heart closer to God? What should you do? What, it's a good question to ask ourselves, because if there's a gap between us and God, guess who put the gap there? It's not God. God hasn't moved away from you. God will never move away from you. God's love is consistent. God is Mr. Consistency in that sense. He's so patterned. His word says that his love is constant. It never changes. That Jesus is the same towards you and I yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you love the fact you don't have to wake up and think, does God love me? No, he loves me. No matter where my life's at, no matter the season that I'm in, God's love is faithful and consistent to me. So if it's not like it used to be, I need to turn back and do what I used to do. If it's not like it used to be, turn back and do what you used to do. So let's keep loving God with a wholehearted devotion. Let's keep serving God with a wholehearted devotion. Let's love each other. It said in Revelation, not only do you not love me, but you don't love each other like you used to. Love the people in the community. Love the people in your church. Love on your church family. Be connected to them and keep our connection strong. Secondly, I should warn you, I've got a few points today. It's a bit of a porcupine sermon, but we will get there. Some of the points are only short, Renos, so don't panic. It's going to be okay. Continue in connection with God's house. Continue in connection with God's house. So many promises in regards to this in the Word of God. Psalm 23:6 says, surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me. Not just follow me, will pursue me. Have you ever had someone pursue you? Have you ever been pursued by the police? Have you ever seen the police pursue somebody? When there's a pursuit on, there's all sirens blazing, there's lights flashing, they're chasing you down is the picture. That's what it says here, the goodness and the unfailing love of God does towards us all the days of our life. And I will live, the psalmist says, David says, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. There's just such great favor in being connected to the house of God, the heart of God, to God himself and to people. So here's my encouragement. Don't allow anything, don't allow anyone or any season to redefine your connection to God's house in a negative way. Don't allow it to get in between you and God and your relationship with God's house. There's great blessing in staying consistently planted in the house of God and in his family. Thirdly, we need to continue investing in God's kingdom. The Bible has just volumes to say about this. Matthew 6:21 says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Whatever you invest into, you'll take an interest in it. Whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's a personal investment, wherever you put your treasure, wherever you put your money, you've got an interest in that. You keep a track of that. You watch that. You're praying about that. And the thought here is that as we invest into the kingdom of God through our giving, through our gifts, our financial gifts, through practicing tithing, like the Bible talks about, the presentation of 10% of all of our income to bless God and to bless His house, as we do that, our heart for the house increases. And Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6:33 that God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. What's your primary? What's your primary? I have lots of concerns, but what's my primary? Is my primary the kingdom? If my primary is the kingdom, then God says, I will have all I need. I will have all I need to live day to day if I live for Him and make the kingdom of God my primary concern. So as believers, we're called to make an investment in the kingdom of God. Have a consistency with that, a pattern with that, a habit with that. And many people in our church do. Many do. Many have a habit and a consistency with that in terms of our tithing and our financial contributions. And I thank you for that. I applaud you for that. I honor you for that. If you've not started that journey, I appeal to you to start that journey. I appeal to you to step up, because Jesus talks about it and commands it and encourages it as something that brings great blessing into our lives. So don't be a tipper, be a tither. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a tither. Be a tither, not a tipper. Be a tither, not a tipper. The fourth thing we're called to continue in is to be continue focused on the future. Always be focused on the future. You're always going to have the present stuff going on. The fuss will always be there in your family, at work, in your business, in your health. You'll always have fuss going on. Fuss is a part of life, and at the moment it's a pandemic, and it's a whole lot of fuss that causes a distraction and a disruption and even a disconnection and a disorientation for many people. We're called to live with a sense of focus on the future. Caleb lived for 45 years focused on his future and thinking about that mountain all the time that God said would be his. And his thought was, give me that mountain. That mountain belongs to me. One day I'm going to own it. One day I'm going to farm it. One day I'm going to put a fence around it. One day my family are going to live there. We're going to have the cattle that roam on that mountain. And he hung on to that promise for some 45 years. And he declared, I'm as strong now as I was when that promise was first given to me, and I can still travel and I can still fight. So God, give me my mountain. Church, can we live this way? Can we stay hungry? Can we stay in the fight? Can we stay in the battle? Can we stay in the travel and on the path and remain strong no matter what the season is? No matter what the circumstance may be? Because the truth is, life is not always easy. And life is not always understandable, and certainly it's not predictable. Stuff happens. It just happens all around us, all the time. And we need a consistency that will refuse to let the challenge of a challenging season stop our fights, or to let someone else's stupid stop our fight, or to let unanswered prayers stop our sense of fight. The writer of Hebrews encourages us. He says in Hebrews 10:35, don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. In other words, don't throw away your consistent hope in the promises of God, because it will bring a great reward to you. You know, consistency in following God, doing our part, playing our part, knowing our part and having a follow through with that will bring a great reward for every one of us. Number five, continue doing good. Keep doing good. Why should we do good? Because good is the right thing to do. Good is what we do. Good is who we are. God has made us good to do good. To do good in our world. And Paul says this about doing good. He says, don't grow weary of doing good. You ever get tired of doing good? I do. I get tired. Anyone else tired? Let's close your eyes for a moment. Guarantee. Tired. You get tired of doing good. You get run down. You get run down because you're doing good all the time. You're just doing good, doing good, doing good, doing good. And that's why Paul says, don't grow weary of that. Don't grow tired of doing good, because there is a season, there's a due season where you will reap if you do not give up. So here's my encouragement for you today. Don't quit. Don't react, don't stop, don't slow down. Don't throw in the towel, don't lose your head. Don't explode, don't implode. Don't pull out, don't pull up, don't crack up. Don't say never again, don't say it's not worth it. Don't hold a grudge, don't hold a weapon. Don't say it's stupid, don't say they're stupid, don't be stupid. Turn to your neighbor and say don't. Don't leave, don't walk away, don't discontinue. Why? Because the blessing and the reward is coming if you don't get weary and if you don't give up. Your mountain is coming if you stay in the fight and if you stay strong. Which leads me to my second last point, continue when others don't. Continue when others don't. The truth is, not everyone will continue. Israel teaches us that. God's dealing with the people and the children of Israel in Caleb's time, in Joshua's time, teaches us that not everybody will make that journey. Not everyone will receive that promise. In Caleb's day, the other brothers, the other spies, the other 10 spies, came back with a negative report and they said, we can't take the land. But Caleb stood for 45 years believing that mountain is mine. And so, church, don't ever let the drifting away of others change your conviction about your course in life. Don't let the lag of others cause you to lag. Don't let the drift of others draw you away. It's important to continue when others don't. Because here's the lesson about when other people lag, when other people drift, and when other people fall away. You don't know what's going on in their heart to cause them to do that. You don't know what's going on in their heart to cause the change of language, the change of posture, the change of commitment. And it's a foolish thing to do, to anchor yourself to the heart of someone that's drifting away. It's wisdom to help them, but it's not wisdom to tie yourself to them. Because you go with them. You drift with them. You're affected by them. And yet you're not privy to the reason why they're drifting or the lag that's in their heart. The Bible talks about us caring. The Bible talks about us reaching out. But in all of that, be careful that you don't anchor yourself to someone and get affected by their drift and affected by their lag and affected by their negativity and their conversation. And that's why we're to challenge each other about our conversation and the negativity. It's one of the things that come with the portfolio that I carry. I don't just get to be that fuzzy bear pastor. Actually, I don't think I've ever been that fuzzy bear pastor. What is a fuzzy bear pastor? I mean one of those big cuddly drink tea and eat Lamingtons pastor. I look like I eat a few Lamingtons, but I have a portfolio and a responsibility and a personality that needs to respond and have conversations with people. And I do that from time to time. And it's hard. It's hard to talk to someone you like strongly. It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But if I like you, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it, why? Because I like you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like you. Everyone look at your pastor now and say, I like you. I like you too. I like you a lot. I like you a lot. So if I have a conversation with you, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I do like you. Like the Bible says, God our Father disciplines us because he loves us. he didn't love us, he just let us do our thing and be irresponsible. But because he wants us to be on the path and to still be able to travel and to be as strong as we should be in our old age, he'll bring correction, he'll bring adjustment, and he'll speak into our lives. And so finally, my last thought is, continue being strong. Continue being strong. Strength is something to admire. I admire and respect that Caleb was 85, yet he was still strong. He still had the fight in his eyes. He still had it in his hand. He said, I can still travel, and I can still take on that enemy. I'm as strong today as I was when I was 40 years of age. I think there's no greater privilege than to do the journey with a sense of longevity. With a sense of longevity. 21 years ago on Friday, we pioneered our church. 21 years ago. 21 years ago on Friday, we started a little church called South City Christian Church. There are some people in the room that were there 21 years ago. 21 years ago. 21 years is a long time. It's a long time. A long time. I've been pastoring the same church for 21 years. And I can still fight. And I am still strong. And I can still run fast, but I can drive fast. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, church. Be bold, be brave, be strong. Consistency brings such blessing and such power into our lives. I love looking out over church and just seeing people that have been in the faith for a long, long time, that know Jesus and love Jesus. Yeah, you got your junk going on and life going on and stuff going on. You got your fuss, but you're so focused on the future. Don't ever let the fuss get your attention to the point that it takes your eyes off the goal, the future, what God has called to do. Be a Caleb. Be a Caleb. Just keep going. Keep growing. Keep knowing. Keep doing your part. Keep playing your part. Loving God with all of your heart. Let me pray for you today. Because I do know this about the fuss. The fuss is hard work. The fuss is draining. The fuss is demanding. The fuss is overwhelming at times. And we just need help when we're full of the fuss, so that we can stay focused on the future. I want to pray for you and your family today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my friends and family that are here today and online today. We're praying, God, that the fuss that's around our world and our lives at the moment would not become a distraction or a disruption or a disorientation to us, but we would be future focused. We'd be people of the future, yet so present in the now, but not bound to the now, not dictated to by the now, that we would be strong, we would do our part, we would play our part, we would know our part, and like Caleb, our testimony would be, God, I've been faithful, God, I've stood strong, and I'm as strong today, I'm as fast today, I'm full of faith today, as much as I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, doesn't matter what the time is, while there's breath in my lungs, I'm going to be this way. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to crack up. I'm not going to blow up. I'm going to keep going strong, because I'm going to look up to you, my God, my hope, my strength, my confidence. Gonna love you wholeheartedly. Help us to have that kind of commitment and that kind of heart is what I pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While you're standing, church, we're going to hand out the communion emblems. We're going to share communion today. If you're at home, if you haven't got communion prepared, if you could take just a moment now to gather quickly something that you can use for communion. As our team are passing this out, we're going to sing that song that we didn't talk about singing. Yeah, that's it. That song. The last song. Come on, the praise is yours.
And the praise is yours. And the praise is yours. You're the one we bow before. Reigning over all. As we lift you up, you will reign forevermore.
And the praise.
So grateful today for Jesus. We're so thankful for the example that he set for every one of us, that he never gave up. He went all the way. He was consistent through every season, through every struggle, because he had his eyes on a prize, and that prize was us. He had his eyes on the promise, and that promise was us. He had his heart set on what would be achieved by going to the cross of Calvary. We thank you today that Jesus died for us, that he spilled his blood for us for the forgiveness of our sins, and that he rose from the dead on the third day to empower us to live life. We thank you today for these emblems that we hold in our hands, that this little bit of biscuit, you said, Jesus, that it would be representative of your flesh. And this bit of juice today, that it would be symbolic of your blood that was spilt for us. And that every single time that we take this moment to remember and to be thankful, that we eat and drink life to ourselves today. And that we remember that a life was given that we might live. And we are who we are, and we can do what we do because of everything that Jesus did and because of who Jesus is and will forever will be for every single one of us today. And so as we partake, Father, may we be blessed, may we be strengthened, may we be encouraged today in our faith to continue on, to be strong, and to be brave, and to go all the way, is what I pray in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church, as we partake of the biscuit representing the broken body of Jesus. Also, the juice today representing his precious blood. Be thankful for what we partake as we partake together. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you please pass your glasses to the end of the aisles? We'll have those collected by somebody. Don't forget tonight, our team talk tonight for all those involved in teams. And men's breakfast, women's breakfast, get registered for those. We'll have some people walking around, or you can go to the Ask Me desk and you can register for those also. Also, Vision Sunday, next Sunday. Don't forget that also. God bless you. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you. God bless.